Let's just pray. Just open up in a word of prayer. Father, we just want to say thank you, Lord, that we can be here together, Lord. That we can truly just come together, Lord God, without persecution. That we can be here together and worship you and in freedom, Lord. And Father, we just want to ask you just to minister to us this morning, that your spirit might be among us, Lord. And Father, that you might minister to every single one individually as you choose and as you please. And Father, we just want to say thank you for your spirit, Lord. Just want to say thank you, Lord God, that you've not only saved us to save us from our sins, but that you've also given us your spirit so that we can walk in trueness of life, that we can walk in fullness of life, that we can walk in the power of the Spirit, Lord Jesus, to be more like you, to walk as you walked and to touch people's lives as you touched people's lives. And we just pray, Lord God, Father, that we might be that. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I start, I just wanted to give an idea. I'm a squash player, and I play league usually between, like, it's the winter months, so starting from about March to maybe August. And it's quite interesting, on the squash court, when your opponent challenges you, you get so involved with the game that sometimes you forget the basics. So it's a very common phrase that we say to each other on the squash court, basics, basics, you know, and just go, get back to the tee, because that's where you need to be when you're a squash player. After every shot, you need to get back to the tee and hit good length down the line. And I think very often it is like that in the Christian life, that we get so busy and involved with life. The enemy puts temptations and things in front of us, and we get sidetracked by our own desires. And before we know it, you know, we've just lost hold of the basics. Now, I by no means do I want to say a lot of you have lost lost the basics, not at all. But it can just be a deviation. It just can be like a slight deviation from where God wants us. And I think that's, you know, we're all at different maturity levels. For some people, this might be, you know, going like, okay, I'm absolutely there, and it's just a confirmation. That's exactly where I am, and that's good. For others, it might be, hang on, I need to just realign where I'm standing at the moment, or realign my walk, because where I am at the moment is not 100% correct. And for others, I mean, you might be here, it might be your first time. I'm not sure. I'm not from this church, so I don't know. But, you know, you might be here, and, you know, you've just come to actually hear a message, and, you know, maybe the Lord just wants to speak to you and minister to you and just say, hey, you know, I want you to get your life in line. So, you know, maybe your whole life is upside down. I don't know. And that's the beauty of coming here, because I don't know you, and, you know, I can share, you know, what the Lord has put on my heart. And, you know, to be honest with you, I don't know who's it going to hit and who not, but that's not my issue. That's the Lord's issue. And so I'm just excited to be here today and to be sharing with you. Now, I'm going to be sharing on a topic, God first. And, I mean, that is a really, probably one of the most fundamental principles that we learn in the Christian life. But yet, I think even as you listen to the message today, just examine your heart and allow the Lord to just minister to you, just to speak to you in different areas. Now, just for the sake of laying a biblical foundation, well, sorry, let me just mention this. God First, that's a series that we did at Calvary Chapel Cape Town. And that's basically an acrostic, the word first, which is finances, interest, relationship, service, and time. So we did a whole series on that. When De Beer phoned me, he said, can you preach? I said, don't have a lot of time, but I did one message. And he said, well, that sounds good. If, you know, if that's what how the Lord's leading, then, you know, just share that message. So I did the one on interests. And under interests, for our careers, our jobs, our hobbies, our sports, our recreation, and our leisure time. And we want to basically say, we want to put God first in all these areas. Now, if I'd start out, if I'd say, okay, is putting God first biblical? You'd probably go, yeah, that's pretty obvious. But I think it's good to always lay a foundation, a biblical foundation, to remind ourselves, what does God's word say? And You know, basically, I think if you read through the Bible, every single book really teaches that principle. I don't think there's any book that does not teach that principle, and it's very very obvious as you read through the Bible. Now, one of the most well-known verses, I think, that we quote to each other, you know, whenever you've got a problem, or, oh, I need a wife, or I need a car, or I need, you know, then somebody would say, hey, you know what? First seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Some of us have heard it so often that you almost go like, yeah, I've heard that, I know that, you know. But actually looking at that verse, and you know, this is Jesus speaking, and you know, he's written this for us, for every believer, and he's actually, you know, it's God's word, so I can confidently say he's saying this to you this morning. Seek first the kingdom of God, and the king in the kingdom, and his righteousness, God's righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now, obviously, within the context, it's speaking about the Gentiles. They chase after food. They chase after what to drink and what to wear. And, you know, in our society today, we could probably extend that quite a bit. You know, where to live, which position to have in your job, you know, what car to drive, you know. You can just continue. Where to go on holiday, you know, you can just continue. But what God is saying, what Jesus is saying, hey, don't seek after those things. Don't make that your main priority, your main focus. Make God your main focus, and he will add all these things to you. So he's actually saying, if you make me your main focus, I will make sure that all your needs are met. Because that's really what we're speaking about in the context, because it's food and clothing, and it's something to drink. But all your needs are met, and don't chase after these things. Then, for example, just in the Lord's Prayer, as the Lord says, as the disciples ask Jesus, they say, Lord, teach us how to pray. And he says, okay, when you pray, I want you to pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then starting with your own petitions, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. But really, really basic, where he's just saying, hey, this is the way you should pray. When you pray, don't come with your own petitions first. Don't just jump in and say, Lord, this is what I need. And no, hallowed be your name. Lord, it's about your name. It's not about my name in this world. Lord, it's about your kingdom. It's not about my kingdom that I'm building here on this earth. And Lord, it's about your will. It's not about my will. That's the focus. And Jesus just saying, like, when you start praying, pray in a certain order. There's a certain order of priority, not only in prayer, but in our whole life. And that is our priority, to place his name above ours. He is important. His name, his kingdom, and his will. Those are the most important things. Even in Exodus 20, when he starts out with the Ten Commandments, the first commandment being, you shall have no other gods before me. Now, I think this is something that, you know, when one reads it, you think, okay, that's no problem. I didn't have an idol. I don't belong to another religion, etc., you know. And you just sort of think, okay, that's not me. But obviously, with our jobs, with our careers, with our sports, with all those sort of things, something can always creep in. And it's simply being more dedicated, giving more energy, perhaps spending even more money on this thing than on the Lord. I'm not saying if you're paying off your house, you know, that's a different story. But, you know, if you devote more energy, more time, more money, etc., to something else than to God, and God is actually just saying, hang on, is this getting a far too high place in your life? And just going, no, Lord, well, maybe. I mean, the Lord had to point that out to me. I mean, I'm a business owner. And sometimes, you know, getting too caught up in business. And I just realized, hang on, you know, the Lord just going like. Hang on, this has become far too important. Why are you so consumed with this? And I just got to go, Lord, you're right. This is not my focus. I don't want it to be my focus. Thank you for pointing it out. Thank you for putting it straight again. Thank you for realigning me. And I think that's really the message today. It's just about realignment and actually just going, hey, you know, even in my job, is God first? You know, God obviously wants us to excel in things. He wants us to excel in our jobs. He wants us to excel in sport. He wants us to excel and also enjoy many things. But at the same time, he's just saying, watch out that it doesn't get too high a priority in your life. I mean, Jesus put it really simple. I mean, he just said, you know, the greatest commandment is you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul and with all your mind. Those three. Basically, with everything you are, love the Lord your God, and in every situation. Now, there's another scripture from 1 Corinthians 10:31. And it says, therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And, you know, he's just taking really basic principles. He's going, you know, whether you eat or drink, he's actually just saying, like, the most basic human activity that you can do. If you're busy with the most basic human activity that you can do, then do it for his glory. I love that little phrase there that says, or whatever you do. I mean, that really encompasses everything that we do. And just especially in light of today, just thinking about careers, thinking about jobs, thinking about hobbies, thinking about sports, thinking about recreation, thinking about your own leisure time, thinking about, I mean, you can go obviously on about family, you know, maybe your family is too much of a focus. Like, can that be? Yeah, maybe it's an obsession. Maybe it's unhealthy. Yes, it can be. And God can say, no, hang on, if I'm in the right place, then you'll love your wife the way you're supposed to. You'll love your children the way you're supposed to. So very, very simple. So therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. I'm just going, yes, Lord, that's my heart. I want to do everything to the glory of God. That whatever I do, I want you to be glorified through it and in it. So I think it's pretty obvious that the Bible teaches that we should be putting God first. Another question, just why should God be first? Or why does God want to be first? You know, one can easily, you know, as an unbeliever, you could think, hey, you know, maybe he's like this egocentric, self-centered God that just always wants to be first, which is obviously completely wrong, and I think all of us know that. But just going back through the things and just going like, hang on, you know, why does God want to be first? Well, because he's our Father. As Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, when you pray, say, our Father who art in heaven. I know you guys are busy going through 1 John. Even in 1 John, you know, when it says in 1 John 3, where it speaks about, you know, what amazing love do we have that we should be called children of God. Children. That he's our Father, that he actually loves us. And so, you know, I could basically say, here's the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. And you could say, well, okay, that's a commandment. That's, you know, I've got to do this. I don't think that's really how it works in the Christian life. We're being told over and over again, but our love is supposed to reciprocate his love. So basically, because he loves us, that's why we love him. Because he loves us as a father, that's why we want to place him first, not for any other reason. He's our creator, knowing the same thing, that he's the one that created us, and just actually standing still and looking at your body and touching yourself and going, hang on, I'm a created being. God made me. If he made me, he owns me. And just realizing that afresh, you know, I think, you know, we hear this terminology so often, and we know these things so well that sometimes we actually lose that we actually forget, hey, I'm a created being. There's somebody that made me, somebody that made these hands, somebody that made this mouth, and he deserves everything of me. He deserves to be number one. He deserves to be first. Obviously, also, he's our Savior. And, you know, Peter writes that he says, you know, you haven't been purchased, you haven't been redeemed with gold or silver. You've been purchased, you've been redeemed with the precious blood of the Lamb. I'm just going, hang on, we've been purchased. We've been redeemed as Christians. We've been bought with a price. And he just says, I want to be first in your life. I've done that. So, really basic. Then just thinking, God is our ultimate satisfaction. That's what he himself says. We see that in the Psalms. As you read through the Psalms, you'll come across Psalms like Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. It's an invitation. It's an invitation to feast on the Lord. He's saying, come and taste and see, experience the Lord. Don't let it be head knowledge, but experience the Lord. Dig into him. eat of him, taste him, hunger after him. Psalm 42 verse 2, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God, written by the sons of Korah. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. So there's a deep desire inside of us. And, you know, a spiritual hunger that the world, I mean, it's very obvious sometimes what the world tries to fill that hunger with. You know, you can see that. I mean, obviously people use drugs and sex and power and relationship, religion, money, sport, fame. I mean, you could just continue with a list. But sometimes even as believers, you know, the Bible, not now. I've got to do this first, you know, or there's a cool program on, or I got this movie, and that's, you know, we try to get our fulfillment really from other areas, where God is actually saying, hang on, get your fulfillment from me. That's ultimately who I am. I am who I am. I am everything you need. If there's anything that you desire, that you need, you can find it in me. Basically, enjoy the Lord. In John 6, verse 35, this is right after Jesus fed the 5,000. And there's still people following him, and they want more food. And Jesus says to them, John 6, 35, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Really, again, simple and basic. But Jesus saying, hey, if you are hungering and if you are thirsting and if you're trying to fulfill your thirst or your hunger somewhere else, you're not going to be satisfied. You're not going to be satisfied. It's like chasing wind. So come to the Lord, feed off him, and that's where you find perfect satisfaction. So placing God first. There's a quote from A.W. Tozer, where he said, as God is exalted to the right place in our lives, 1,000 problems are solved all at once. I love that quote. As God is exalted to the right place in our lives, 1,000 problems are solved all at once. Now, I was just thinking, even, and you know, buttoning your shirt up. You know, if you button your shirt up and you've got the first one wrong, if you got the first one wrong, I'm not sure if you can see, but it doesn't really matter. If you got the first one wrong, every other one will be wrong that you button. And it's such a simple principle, but just going, hey, hang on, if God is in the right place, if he's got that place, if he's at number one, all the other things will fall into place and 1,000 problems are solved all at once. That's very true of actually my conversion. You know, when the Lord came into my life, 1,000 problems were solved all at once. And obviously there were some things that needed to be dealt with, but the Lord guided me through it. And that's exactly what we can do, is just by going, hey, hang on, you know, how's your marriage at the moment? Okay, where's God? Is he there? How are your finances at the moment? Well, where are you placing God in your finances? You know, how's your job at the moment? Is God in your job? You know, are you praying? Are you praying for the people around you? You know, I mean, you could continue, you know. But just actually knowing, you want to place God first. And if you do, if he's exalted to the right place in your life, 1,000 problems are solved all at once. Then also, when we put God first, we obviously place him into the right place. We come before him, and as we stand before God, as we kneel before the Lord, as we place him in that first place, he can touch our lives and he can say, hang on, the way you spoke to your wife this morning wasn't correct. I want you to apologize. I want you to go back. Hey, you know, I actually prompted your heart to give some money to that guy, and you know what? You just hardened your heart. I want you to look that guy up and give that to him. You know? I mean, the Lord can just correct us in so many ways if we make him number one, if we come before him and allow him to work in our lives and go, Lord, I want you to be number one. I want you to work. I want you to correct. I want you to guide me. And that's what our lives need to be like. I mean, if we want to be the light of the world, we need to be before the Lord. We need to allow him to direct us and to touch us and to say, no, hang on, change that, do this, correct that, go to that person, pay that money back. All these different things, you know. I'm sure the Lord has pointed things out in your life before, and he, as a child of God, he always continues doing that. Then another thing is a scripture like, those who honor me, I will honor. I love that scripture. That's like one of my favorite scriptures. You know, if you honor the Lord, he honors you. If you honor him, those who honor me, I will honor. That's his desire, 1 Samuel 2:30. Then just simply looking at Ecclesiastes, written by King Solomon. He was the king of Israel from 1970 to 1931 AD. And he was super rich. He had 700 wives, 300 concubines. He had everything. And yet in this book of self-contemplation, of contemplation over his whole life, Ecclesiastes, he goes, vanity, vanity, everything is vanity. He says it's like chasing after the wind. It's like running after the wind. If you think, when I get that house, that bigger house, then I'm going to be satisfied. It's chasing after wind. You chase after it, you get there, you realize, hang on, you know, I need to chase after the next thing because this still doesn't satisfy. Career, same thing. Chase up, get to that position. Hang on, that's not enough. You need to get more. Car, same thing. Oh, look at the neighbor. Look what he's got. Oh, man, let me just, you know, and you're just chasing after the wind and your whole energy and everything that you are is being poured out into a direction that you don't want. And I think for most of us as believers, that might not be true. But it might just be even a flickering flame in a certain direction where the Lord is going today, going, hang on, take care of that. Don't even allow that in your life. Don't even contemplate that. Don't even set your heart on that. But make sure that you set your heart on me, on Jesus Christ. And I can add everything that you need, and I will. And God loves us. And if he knows that we need it, he'll give it to us. If he knows that it's bad for us, he'll withhold it. And that's what we want, isn't it? As believers, that's what we say. We say, Lord, you know, if this is not from you, I don't want it. If it is from you, I do want it. So in Ecclesiastes, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. And just that definition of vanity, it's futility, it's uselessness, it's pointlessness, it's worthlessness, it's purposelessness, it's fruitlessness, it's profitlessness. You know, maybe in the short term, you'll say, hey, that was profitable. Hey, that was worth it, you know? But in the long term, just like Solomon, you'll realize, hang on, that was futile. That was futile. Then there's a, you know, I just thought about a song that when I was younger or when I was at school, I was a big Rolling Stones fan. And there's that song that they sang, it's called Satisfaction. And it was basically, I can't get no satisfaction because I try and I try and I try and I try. You know, and if you just Google a photo from the Rolling Stones, you'll realize that they're still not satisfied. I mean, boy, they, you know, like you look at them and they've got the fame, they've got everything, they've got money, they've got virtually everything that money can buy, and they're not happy. And sometimes how is it that we tend to think, you know, that we think if I get that material possession or if I get that certain thing that I'll be happy? No. Contentment with godliness is great gain. Contentment. Just going, Lord, thank you for what I have. I praise you for it. I want to be content in it. And I want you to be my number one. And I don't want to be discontent with what I have. And what you've dealt to me is for a specific purpose. And I love you, Lord. And I'll make the most of what you've given me. I want to be faithful with what you've given me. And I want to enjoy that what you've given me. You know, there's like a Hebrew saying where they were saying, God will not only judge you for those things that you did wrong, But he'll also judge you for those things that he gave to you and that you did not enjoy. It's like, wow. Just realizing again, hey, hang on, you know, God has blessed us with so much. Enjoy the things that God's given you. He wants you to enjoy it. Don't let them become idols. Don't chase after wind. Don't run after other things. I just wanted to read a testimony of a guy called Dave Rea. It's two complete pages, so I'm not going to read the whole thing. But what I'm going to do, I'm just going to be sharing a little bit and then just reading some important parts that I think are meaningful to us and impactful to us. But Dave Rea currently, he's the president of a ministry called Crown Financial Ministries. They mostly deal with finances and help business people. They have written books like Business by the Book or How to Manage Your Money, etc., etc. Brilliant books. I can only advise you, you know, if you're struggling with your finances, or even if you aren't, it's great to know godly principles and to get those books. They actually have a place here in Durbanville that one can order from. So that's Crown Financial Ministries. And this, I'm not doing an advertisement, just by the way, just not involved in any way with Crown Financial Ministries, but they've just been a huge blessing for me. Now, this testimony is from a book called Business by the Book. And it's in the introduction. And like I said, it's about Dave Rea, who's the president of Crown Financial Ministries International at the moment. And Dave Rea used to be employed by Apple. And he was the president, the CEO of Apple in Canada between 1985 and 1992. And, you know, he always struggled with the fact, why did God place me in business? Why am I in business, you know, wanting to be in ministry and just going like, you know, searching the Bible and realizing, hang on, you know, God's got many people in business. And realizing, you know, there's nothing wrong with being in business, having an everyday job, working for the Lord, and just being used by God in your job and wherever you are. There's nothing wrong with that, and God has placed you there, and it's a calling. It's a specific calling to be there and to do that. Now, Dave Rea was very business-minded. So he was very business-orientated. So he realized, okay, if I'm working for Apple, I don't have a clue about computer sciences. So let me try to get a right-hand man that can explain complicated computer principles to me so that I can basically understand these things and can make better decisions, obviously, for Apple. So he decided to start interviewing, and he started interviewing a man called Don, which he also later employed. And this is just a little part from the interview, and he said, during his interview, Don said that he had dreamed of working for Apple and that it was his number one priority. He also asked me what my priorities were. I told him that my first priority, this is as CEO of Apple, was my relationship with God, followed by my relationship with my wife, Anne, and then my relationship with my three children. After that came Apple and my community. He seemed satisfied with my priority list, although I could tell he was a little puzzled. They started meeting every morning for 1 hour, and Don started to explain computer sciences to Dave Rea. And probably about a year, maybe a year and a half later, they were traveling down to California. And this was just after Easter, and they're traveling down by plane. And it says, as was Apple custom, Don and I were assigned first class seats, 1A and 1B. During the flight, Don asked me lots of questions. One of them had to do with what the Easter service was like at my church. This opened the opportunity for me to share my faith with him. After I had done this, I asked Don if he wanted to accept Christ's gift of life. He said yes. So I asked if he wanted to pray right there in seats 1A and 1B, and he said that he did. He got up out of his seat and knelt down. Now Don is 6 feet and 7 inches tall, a big man. There was nothing for me to do but to get up and kneel down beside him while the entire first class section of the airplane looked on. After we prayed and got back into our seats, I took out my pocket New Testament. I reviewed the verses I had shared with him earlier so he would know that what I told him was the word of God, not mine. So on that Friday when they got back to Canada, they agreed, they said, hey, next week Monday we're going to meet an hour earlier and I'm going to disciple you. And he said he's going to start sharing with him and he's going to start teaching him the basic principles of Christianity. Next Monday, Don walks in and he says, ask me what happened. He said, what happened? He said, well, when I got home on Friday, I told my wife what you told me. And I told her what my reaction was, that I gave my life to the Lord and that he became my Lord and Savior. And she gave her life to the Lord. And Dave Rea was amazed. Next week, Monday, same principle. Don walks in, he says, ask me what happened this weekend. He says, what happened this weekend? He says, well, my wife and I decided we're going to visit my parents. We drove out to my parents. I shared with them what you shared with me. And I told them what I did. I told them that I went home and I shared with my wife and she shared with my parents what happened to her. And both my parents gave their life to the Lord. Well, you can guess what happened the next Monday. Same routine, same dialogue. Don told me he had spent some time with a lifelong friend with whom he had frequented some pretty unsavory places and did things that he knew weren't right. Then Don shared with his friend that through Jesus Christ he now has peace with God and getting his life straightened out. Then his friend accepted Christ into his life. Now that same scenario didn't occur every Monday, but for the first 3 weeks it did. And from then on, Don continued to share his faith openly with many people. My administrative assistant at Apple was challenged by Don's passion for Christ. I noticed Lynn, a devoted Christian, spending the lunch hour at her desk studying the Bible. I asked about it, and she said that Don's zeal had challenged her to become a brighter light for Christ. Over the next 6 months, Lynn had the joy of leading four of my vice president's administrative assistants to Christ. During my tenure at Apple Canada, some 25 people put their faith in Christ as a result of Don and Lynn's vibrant testimonies. Isn't that awesome? You know, what strikes me about this story is that these are three very different characters. Dave Rea, the CEO, and how he shared his faith, even as the CEO. Even Apple didn't pay him to do it. Might even get into trouble. Then you've got Don, which is more scientifically minded, technically minded. And then you've got one of the secretaries. And I just thought it's so beautiful that, you know, as one thinks about that story, none of us have an excuse here. We're all different, but God can use us wherever we are. And you might say, the ground is so hard. They don't want to listen. Heathens, unbelievers. But, you know, it actually all boils down to prayer. You have not because you ask not. Why aren't people being converted? You have not because you ask not. That simple principle. Seeking the Lord for people where you have an impact. Setting a day aside for them to fast for them. It's going, Lord, I need there to be a breakthrough. I need there to be an impact. I want to make an impact for you. Not out of your own strength, but in God's strength, but allowing the Lord to use you And not making the career or the job or the hobby or the sport, not making that the God, but allowing God to come into that area, inviting him into that, and going, Lord, I want you to move in that. I want you to participate. I want you to be first in that, first in my career, first in my job, first in that meeting that I go to every week, that sports meeting, or it can be anything, that play group, whatever. You know, everybody, every one of us goes somewhere. And just going like, Lord, wherever I meet or wherever I get together with other people, I want to be that light. Even if it's in Christian circles, I want to be that. So really today is also just taking an honest look. Take a look at your priorities in your own heart. I'm just going, Lord, is there something that needs to change today? Have I just been slugging away at work and not made that the most important thing? Your name, your kingdom, your will? Because those are the most important things. That's why he saved us. That's why we're alive. That's why we're breathing. That's why we're here. I'm just going, Lord, I don't want to forget that. 1,000 problems are solved all at once if he's exalted into the right place. So just taking an honest look, placing God first in your life should be your daily goal. It's the main pursuit in the midst of all other pursuits. Waking up, first thing, Lord, today you are number one. My quiet time, I don't want to slouch in bed. I want to get up. I want to sit outside. I want to make this the most important time. I want to meet with you. That's what I want to do. This is my number one priority. And if God would look over your life and would he say, hey, this does not really look like your number one priority? Or would he say, man, that is your number one priority. Go on. So just allowing the Lord to minister to you in that area. And just going, coming before the Lord, going, Lord, this is not where I am. But that's what my heart yearns. That's where I want to be, Lord. And looking to him for strength. Looking to him for strength. Those to look up to him for strength, and those who put their trust in him will be radiant with joy. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delighting yourself in him. God's not saying, do this because it's legalistic. Do this because it's a commandment. No, because you love me. Do this because you love me. Do this because you know that's the truth, that I will find ultimate satisfaction only in you. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So starting point, as a believer, simply realign your priorities. Or maybe just, I mean, realign doesn't mean much. You know, maybe you're here today and you're saying, well, you know, I think I'm pretty spot on with the Lord, and, you know, the Lord's been doing amazing things in my life. Great. Excellent. And it's a good reminder. But you might have just been out in an area, in a small area, where the Lord's just going like, hey, hang on. Come back. Main priority, my name, my kingdom, my will. Let's pray. Father, we just want to say thank you that we made a decision to follow you as believers. That we've said, Lord, we receive you as our Lord and Savior. We acknowledge that we're sinners. We acknowledge that you are the one that created us. We acknowledge, Lord, that you love us. We acknowledge that you've got all right to be number one in our lives. And Father, we want to love you. We pray that you might realign our hearts, strengthen us in those areas where we need strength. Lord, even if we're afraid to even just share the gospel, Lord, we want to look to you for hope and strength. We want to look to you for open doors, not to ourselves. Lord, we want you to lead and to guide and to direct. And Jesus, we just want to ask that, Lord God. I just want to pray for every single person here, Lord God, this morning. That tomorrow when they go to work, or tomorrow when they're home with the kids, or tomorrow when they're busy, Lord, with life, with living life, Lord, that you might be the number one priority. That it might be your name. We're building your name, not our own name.
We're building your kingdom, not our kingdom. And Lord, your name, your kingdom, and your will. And Father, that's what we desire as believers, your will above all. In Jesus' name, amen.